Hi there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Hope.
And we are coming to you live from our mother's basement, because why else?
Basements are for everyone.
Yes, we're very inclusive, except not in our actual basement, because our basement is just for us. But the theory of basements is for everyone.
Exactly.
This is Oh My Word, a podcast where we review and promote clean, age-appropriate entertainment, including books, movies, plays, musicals. We explore the content and the plots so that parents and everyone is aware of the media being consumed and what exactly is in that young adult novel geared towards your teenager that might or might not actually be appropriate for the teenager in your home. We use a pearl clutching system, which we use to rate on three main categories: violence, language, and romance. And our scales start at a 0, which is super clean, Disney couldn't be this clean 0, and 4, which is you close your browser if people know that you were reading or watching something with a 4.
Yeah, so if you're trying to be rebellious, then look up our ratings, find the 4s. No, I can't tell you to watch them, and just stay away from them.
Yes. So today we are talking about 3, count them, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and 3. Can we say 1, 2, 3 in any other languages?
Ein, zwei, drei.
Yep. That's all we got, folks. But that was 5. So pat on the back for us. So we're doing To All the Boys I've Loved Before, P.S. I Still Love You, and Love Always, Lara Jean. 3 movies, all currently streaming on Netflix, based upon books written by Jenny Han. They're young adult romantic comedies?
Yeah. And again, this is specifically film that we're talking about, not the books. We haven't read the books.
That's true. Yes, we are just talking about the films. The basic plot for the first one and then the other 2 movies are the consequences of what happens in the first one. The protagonist, Lara Jean, she's written these secret love letters to a variety of boys, and her nosy or helpful, depending upon how you look at it, younger sister decides to actually send these letters to these different boys, and hilarity and romance and heartfeltness ensues.
And she has the fake, like, contract also with Peter while this is all going on, because he's trying to get his ex-girlfriend to be jealous of him and take him back. And then, you know, fake dating leads to real dating sort of thing. And then the next 2 films, P.S. I Still Love You, another guy comes into the picture who, like, never answered the first letter because only 4 of the letters were ever addressed instead of the 5th one. And then Love Always, Lara Jean is when their high school career is over and they're looking into colleges now. And it's about, you know, they're so convinced they're going to go to the same college. No, we didn't get to the same college. Okay, should we be in the same area? And then it turns out that they're going to be on 2 opposite sides of the states and dealing with that sort of situation. Now, I'm just going to lay out here right now that the whole premise of the younger sister setting out the letters, the younger sister is so annoying. I know she's supposed to be like the precocious, you know, too smart for herself. Well, she starts off as an 11-year-old. Like, too smart for herself, 11-year-old. But you do not go into somebody's closet and mail out letters, which, why do the letters have stamps and addresses on them? I don't know. How does she have these addresses? I don't know. But you don't go to somebody's closet. Oh, because you need to have romance in your life? Like, it's none of your business, kid. Like, it's not pretend like 11-year-olds are, like, so precocious like that.
I'd never like when they do really precocious kids. It's very...
Child genius is different.
Yes, child genius is different. And I saw a TV show recently where the kid character was very precocious, but he was also 18. So it was still a child. But it worked, because someone at 18 could actually be precocious and sarcastic and all of those things. But when it's an 11-year-old or younger and they're all sassy and whatever, it's actually very annoying.
Yeah. When you know those kids in real life, you're like, who do you think you are? You're 11.
Yeah.
You don't know anything. So there's 2 parts to this. On the one hand, the films are very cutesy and upbeat and colorful and just a lot of, she's so adorable, you know, like very much like that. So, which is kind of refreshing from the, you know, dark, broody teen deathness, that there's no suicides, no, that the mother did pass away. They actually have a nice blend of, I think the mom's Korean, and they have a very nice blend of, like, keeping the culture, the Korean culture, and the dad, like, promotes it, you know, to be, this Korean culture is part of who you guys are, and we're going to celebrate the Korean New Year and all, and things like that.
Because the dad's white.
Oh, yeah, because the dad's white, and was still being in...
Or European, I should say.
And still being, like, a regular American teenager. So they do actually have a nice balance of that, and I like the way that they're, like, bringing this other culture, and you're showing how it's just, like, part of how we're growing up is that we have a second culture. or that our yes. culture is a blend of two cultures, or our culture is a celebration of both cultures, which is great. It's totally like, you know, keep with your culture, like, you know, let your culture be part of your life. That's a good thing. But anyway, so on the one hand, it's this very cutesy thing. Whenever she bakes, she ends up with, like, she's got the flour on her nose and on her cheeks, and she's also baking and baking and baking. So you have that, the very upbeat, whatever. On the other hand, it's so obsessive about crushes and boys, and, like, I think it's the second film starts off with, like, now I actually have a boyfriend, but I didn't, like, do I look different? Do I feel different? And it's like, what are you doing? Like, having a boyfriend is not the be-all to end-all, especially as a teenager. Why are you pretending like this is what life is all about? So she, I guess in a way you could say, oh, she sort of gets that in the third film when she's talking about going to college, and it's like, do I give up my dreams to, like, keep the unit together? Or could we try to make the long-distance relationship work if I go to, he's in California, Stanford, and I'm in New York? You know, and like, oh, at least we can write love letters to each other sort of thing. And you kind of get the feeling like, oh, the two of them will make it, like, keep it going. There's a sense of, like, there's so much more than just the romance. Like, but the whole film is just about the romance. I mean, there's a rom-com. That's what it's all about. But it kind of gets, like, a little bit, I don't know, it almost feels like they're trying to, like, celebrate love and this kind of stuff. But it almost sometimes it just feels a little bit shallow. Okay, so in the first film, you have, like, the hot tub scene, right? Where it's, like, they're slowly starting to fall for each other, and then they're on a ski trip, and apparently he's in the hot tub, and she thinks he's waiting for him, so she goes, and he's just like, you're so incredible, Laura Jean. And then they have this whole makeout thing, and then people think they're actually, like, went really far in the hot tub, which is so not appropriate, and it's not okay. It's like, why makes her so incredible? Like, he just, like, I wonder if some of these lines are actually from a book, and they had to put in the movie for, like, fan favorites. Because, like, even in the second film, they have this line of, like, break my heart, Laura Jean, I don't care because I love you. And you're like, what the hell? What does this even mean? This has nothing to do with anything. This line was just, like, thrown in there. That's how it sometimes felt to me. But it's, now I'm off on my rant now. But anyway, so, like, on the one hand, it's nice that it's all positive and cutesy and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like, give kids more, give teens more than just this, you know, just this all. It's all about the boyfriend, the boyfriend, the boyfriend, the boyfriend. And they have a nice relationship with each other. You see that they do, you see how the relationship grows and they become very comfortable with each other sort of thing. And they're both like, they seem to, like, be very nice to each other. Like, it seems like a healthy relationship.
It is interesting that in a time when relationships, specifically, like, women might be told that they don't really need to have a man in their life, that there are movies like this when the message could be, I mean, you and I both think that marriage is the ideal. So you could have the message of the importance of relationships and finding someone to build a life with, right, but not making it define you or your whole identity. And it is different when you're in high school, your hormones are raging. And if you've never been kissed, but someone else has, it does occupy a lot of your thoughts, both for boys and for girls. So it does make sense that there are movies that address that and that are about that, because that's pretty normal for teens to be feeling that way. Maybe the young adult romantic comedy, maybe that's just kind of new. Did romantic comedies used to mostly be about adults, and now it's just a younger audience and younger protagonists?
Well, I don't know how new is considered, but the rom-com and young adult is a pretty big genre. A lot of contemporary stuff focuses on that, and a lot of it is just because, you know, it's a celebration of first love. But it's like, I don't know, I just felt like I just wish that they would have given them a little bit more. It's like something else, some other meaningful stuff. I mean, you do have the second one where she's doing her project that she goes to, where she goes to volunteer at the, the facility. I think it's the second one where she's going on the date with him and she's wearing this dress. And they also, in the rest of the next, I guess, oh, she's getting older, but like she comes out in the dress and like her sister and her dad just like, wow, you look so beautiful. It's like, no, you don't. You look like a slut. Go change your clothes. She doesn't look like a slut. Okay. But I probably shouldn't have
said that.
It
definitely was not something I would have owned.
Yeah, don't let your kids out in a dress that's just pushing up, that's just highlighting cleavage and thighs.
It's okay to look like you're 16 when you're 16.
Yeah, but why are they making these dresses for 16-year-olds? Don't let your daughter go out on a day like that. Why do you think the guy's going to keep his hands off of her? He won't.
No, that's what I'm saying. That dress is not meant for a 16-year-old. It ages someone up, and there's no reason that at 16 you can't look. You can still look cute and you can look a little young. You don't have to look like you're 25 when you're 16.
Yeah, I don't know. They dress her, and they do it also in the third film with the, well, spoiler, when dad gets married and she's, her two sisters are wearing, well, the one sister who's the younger sister who walks around the third film with a necklace that says feminist on it because she's annoying. But not in that way. The older sister has like her dress. She has her dress, and then her dress is also like a big cleavage dress. And it's like, stop trying to, stop trying to like objectify her. Like, stop it. Like, I know a lot of people don't see it like that, but it's like, you didn't do that with the other, sister. Like, it's specifically her dresses are like that. None of my didn't notice that, but these are the kinds of things that we notice because we're clutching our pearls. That's what we do. Yes. We notice these things.
If people care so much about objectifying women, which obviously is wrong and we do care about, then they have to stop doing it. You have to start dressing modestly. If you don't want to be objectified, you can't help along the way. You have to do everything. People still might objectify you because you can't really stop what other people are going to think or say, but you can definitely help by how you dress. And especially when they're putting girls on TV, whether or not the girl is actually a teenager, because a lot of times it's older people playing teenagers. If the person is supposed to be a teenager, then they should be dressed appropriately, because otherwise you have adults looking at what's supposed to be a teenager in provocative clothing. And that's weird.
Yeah, gross. And it's not, oh, you have to wear a potato sack. Just stop trying to have sleeves. But that's also like in the third one where it's like the friend, it was the ex-best friend's cousin or whatever, whoever that girl is. She's like very casually, like, of course you're supposed to be sleeping together, like says stuff like that. And they do eventually, oh, I don't think we got into our ratings. Whatever, they do eventually sleep together. But like the first time that they don't show a lot of it. We just know that happened. Because, you know, obviously once I say I love you and I rededicate myself to you, obviously we have to sleep together. That's like, seems to be the implication. But mm-hmm. There's a scene a little bit before that where they're going through like a bump in the relationship. And so she's trying to like get, quote unquote, get closer to him by like sleeping with him. And he actually stops her and says like, you're not in a healthy place right now. Like, we shouldn't do this now. She's like, oh, but I'll be closer to you. Like, don't you want this? He's like, oh, I keep thinking about it. But like, no, this is not the way to do it. Which is good that he stopped it, but it should be like, no, we're not married yet. That's why we're not sleeping together. That's what you're supposed to say. And it's funny because when she does like imagine her future, she sees them getting married and buying a house and all these things. So she does imagine that. But just because you like rededicate yourself with all your teenage love doesn't mean that now's the time to be sleeping together, right? That's right. The problem with having an age of consent over a stage of consent. Boom. Ooh. That's the terms. Because stage of consent is marriage and age of consent is just a legal term, which we use to prosecute pedophiles.
Right. That's also good.
Yes. No, but it's like, so if it's 2 16-year-olds, nobody's prosecuting them, even though neither of them are part of the age of consent, right?
Right.
So why isn't anybody making a thing about that? Like, no, we have to explore, blah, blah, whatever. Like, no, it's not an age, it's a stage. So if you want to get married at 18, and you actually think you're gonna make it work, and a lot of people do get married at 18, and they do make it work, you gotta do what you gotta do with your husband. Or you do it at 19 or 20, or maybe not until you're 40, but it's a stage, it's not an age. Laying down the law here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, this is why people tune in to Oh My Word, because every once in a while, Elt drops just a golden nugget of truth and knowledge and so pithily said that there's not really anything else to be said. That's so great. Stage, not an age. We do, however, have one last thing to say, which is our ratings, because we didn't specify them. We gave it a 1 for violence and 0 on language. Woohoo!
Balloons, I know, I don't think there's any swearing in it. I don't remember any swearing in any of it. Yeah.
Good for you, these three movies. And then Romance is a 3, which we did discuss because they do end up sleeping together and the whole thing is about romance. They make out and there's the hot tub scene. Did we explain why the violence is a 1?
I'm actually thinking violence is, there's more like slapstick situation going on versus like actual violence. So maybe that can also be a 0. We'll have to reconvene and decide on that when we post the actual ratings for this in the episode notes.
Gotcha. But it's pretty good. I would say other than those few messages about sex and the fact that the whole thing is about romance and that she's defining herself by the fact of having a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Generally not objectionable for the age. It's age appropriate.
Yeah. And they show him as like a really nice guy also. He's not like a bully kind of guy, even though he's like so popular and so whatever. Like he comes across as like a really nice guy. It could also be the actor playing it, but it does seem like he's the prom king, but there's no sort of like, I'm so much better than anybody else sort of attitude about him.
Ooh, there was a really cool moment in the second movie, right when they're going on that first date, when she opens the door and Peter's standing there and he looks directly into the camera. But the way that they have the camera is it looks like he's looking directly at you, the viewer, which I thought was really cool. And I also thought might be for all the teenage girls watching it might be done specifically for them because they get to see, oh my goodness, he's looking right at me.
Yeah,
that was fun.
It's always funny when they have certain scenes that you're like, oh, they're doing this for like the eye candiness of it and not because there's any sort of storytelling going on here right now.
Exactly. We should mention, and then we'll let you guys go, that in the third film, when they go to a prom, there are same-sex couples. And we mention this because that's what we do. We mention things that people might care about when they're sharing content with their kids or even for themselves. So we let you know that it's there. It was subtle. They weren't necessarily throwing it in your face, but there was a gay couple and a lesbian couple. So if that's something that concerns you or something that you like to have conversations with your kids about, it's there. Make of it what you will, but it does exist in the film.
Yeah, there's not really any focus on it, but they do stick it in there.
That's a wrap on what are all these things called again? To All the Boys I Loved Before, P.S. I Still Love You, and Love Always, Lara Jean.
On a love fest.
A love fest. Yes. And we love you for listening. Thank you so much.
Cheers, peoples.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.